Going Linux, episode 240, Listener Feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy. Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux. We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. In today's episode, listener feedback. If you want to send us feedback, email us at goinglinux@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889. Bill is unable to record today, so you've just got me. And we've got a number of emails, so let's get right into them. The Lone Marmot wrote about our podcast 239. Hi, chaps. Thank you very much for the information about the structure of Linux featured in this episode. It's something I've wondered about for a long time, and I now feel I have some understanding of the subject. Many thanks again to you and to Ramesh. Best wishes. The Lone Marmot. And David also provided feedback on episode 239. Hi, Larry. Hi, Bill. Referring to episode 239, How Linux is Put Together. Fantastic. Wonderful. And he put it in all caps. Answered a lot of questions I've never bothered to look into. Very helpful. Put things into perspective and explained a lot. Thank you. 42. 967-1111. Bestest, David, your expat Canadian fan in Israel. Thanks, David. And we're not going to explain all those numbers. The 42 is probably self-evident, and the 967-1111. Listen to some previous episodes where David has provided some feedback. We'll explain that there. Anyway, Michael also commented on episode 239. A very popular episode, apparently. Hi, first, I enjoy your show. As a hobbyist user who is not a professional sysadmin, it's nice to have something like your podcast. I just wanted to point you to a small inaccuracy in your last episode with respect to some, but not all, distros. Arch, as well as a number of other distros, have moved all binaries to /user/bin. So, /bin, /sbin, and /lib are now symlinks for compatibility. I expect most distros will follow suit, as the original division was a result of the limited storage space, as it allowed each of these to be a separate partition or physical device. Given the small size of the Linux system relative to modern media, the consensus seems to be to consolidate all of the binaries in one place. The rationale from the Arch Dev mailing list is given in this link, and of course we'll have a link in the show notes. Keep up the excellent work, Michael. Well, thanks, Michael. I was unaware of this move to consolidate all of the binaries and libraries and so on into a single location. Makes sense, though, given that there are very large hard drives on modern computers these days. On the other hand, with devices like the Chromebook and other smaller size devices with limited storage, there may be some rationale still for having them separated into these different directories on the system. So I wouldn't expect it to go away entirely, but certainly on the distributions that are intended for desktops, I can see us moving in this direction. Next, we've got some feedback from Google+. Scott posted, "Hi guys, I'm using Linux Mint 14 on a desktop. Do you know anything on how I can customize my Logitech mouse? I like to use a button on the left side for the command Control W so that I can easily close tabs. Thanks for all you do." Well, thanks, Scott, and we posted back to Scott on Google+. We provided a couple of links to some articles on customizing mouse buttons and keyboard shortcuts and things like that. But Scott commented that they're a bit beyond him. So I committed to creating a tutorial to make things a little bit simpler. There has to be something out there that explains how to make these devices from Logitech that have 2, 3, 4, 12 extra buttons for gaming or whatever they've got. In a simple way, explain how all of those buttons can be mapped to do what it is you want them to do. So anyway, it may take me a little while to get to it, Scott, but I will put a tutorial together if it's at all possible, or find you one somewhere where somebody's explained this in a simple way. Matt wrote in our Google Plus community, "Hi, Larry et al. I am about to become the proud owner of a Chromebook. I'm looking for Chrome OS podcasts. Any suggestions? Thanks." And I see from Matt's unboxing video that he's received his Chromebook and is happily using it. And hopefully the suggestions I made meet his expectations for Chrome podcasts. I actually found two that I now listen to on a regular basis, now that I have a Chromebook as well. And I found them on Stitcher. The first one is Practical Chrome at practicalchrome.com. That's their website. And they don't really, on their website, have a traditional RSS feed link. They have a link to tunein.com, and that pops up a player on the web page. I know that you can subscribe to them in Stitcher, which is where I subscribe. I don't know whether they're listed in iTunes or not, but it's called Practical Chrome. The other one is The Chrome Show, and it's a GigaOhm podcast. And we'll have a link to the Chrome Show page in our show notes, as well as a link to their RSS feed, so you can subscribe right from there, regardless of what your podcatching software is. They're also on Stitcher, too. Andrew commented on Linux on Chromebooks. Larry, the other week, Chris from Linux Action Show did a Chromebook challenge. And one of the things he mentioned was that to put anything other than Chrome OS on it, you need to set development mode in the BIOS, kind of like with Android. He did also mention in a later episode of Unplugged, I think, that you do run the risk of bricking the unit if it all fails. This might be why you have some problems loading Krubuntu. Andrew in Perth, Australia. Well, Andrew, I listened to those episodes from Jupiter Media as well, and Chris's comment about bricking had more to do with the fact that he had removed the Chrome OS entirely from his system than it did the use of development mode itself. So to do anything other than run Chrome OS on a Chromebook, you do need to load the development mode firmware and put the system into development mode. And then on most Chromebooks, you have the choice of running Krubuntu, which is a way of essentially dual booting your Chromebook with an Ubuntu variant. And then there's something called Kruton, which allows you to run it kind of like in a virtual machine sort of thing. And you can switch between the running Chrome OS and the running Ubuntu variant that you have installed on your Chromebook. I've chosen the latter after trying to get Krubuntu to work. The versions that were available at the time I was trying were apparently not compatible with my later model version of the oldest Chromebook out there, which is the Samsung Chromebook. They just call it Chromebook. And it's a sufficiently newer version of the firmware they have installed on there that I don't think the Krubuntu folks had an image specific to the model that I had. So I was having some trouble getting it to run. I think that had more to do with it than anything else. And just to fill out the Chris from the Linux Action Show's comment on bricking his Chrome OS, the way he installed Linux on there, full-fledged Linux on there, was to completely remove the Chrome OS, which means that when you boot into development mode, if you uninstall or have a crash that completely borks your system, the Linux installation you have no way of going back to the Chrome operating system to do a recovery because the Chrome operating system no longer exists. I do know that you can create a restore image on a USB stick and restore from the USB the original Chrome operating system onto your Chrome device. And perhaps that would be a way to recover from this, and it wouldn't truly be a brick. I think with that, you just need to boot into the developer mode, which I'm assuming if Linux doesn't run, you can still at least get to the developer mode screen, hit a couple of keys, and restore from the USB stick image that you have, the recovery image. So that may be a way to unbrick it once you've got that that situation happening to you, if you're so unfortunate to do that. I would just leave Chrome OS on there and either use Krubuntu or Crouton to get your Linux fix on your Chrome OS device. And our last email is from Mike, who says he's a little spooked. Hi, folks. This GNU TLS bug has me a little spooked. I have the routine of installing a live Linux DVD to do my banking, now using Mint 16. Will I have to wait until Mint 17 to have the GNU TLS bug patched on the DVD? What Linux kernel is the patch built in? Anyhow, keep up the good work. I always look forward to your podcast. Always positive and upbeat. Take care, Mike, in Olympia, Washington. Well, Mike, the GNU TLS bug is not something that will be patched in the kernel. The utilities that are being affected here are part of the GNU utilities that are on top of the Linux kernel. The GNU tools actually make the Linux kernel into a full-fledged operating system. Without the two, all you have is a kernel, or you have tools that allow you to run a kernel, but put together you have what we traditionally call Linux, or GNU Linux more accurately. So the bug is in the GNU part of GNU Linux, and that's where it is patched. And according to a ZDNet article, what you need to do is ensure that you have upgraded to the latest GNU TLS version, which is 3.2.12 or later. And if your Linux distribution doesn't already have that, there is a patch you can use to upgrade that. And we'll have a link to the ZDNet article in our show notes as well. Thanks, Mike. And that's it for our episode today. Our next episode is Computer America number 72. Until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We are the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done. And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux Podcast Google Plus community. Until next time, thanks for listening. Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.